Blog Talk Radio.
You're tuned into the SSBN Network, home of the hottest hosts in online radio. And for the next 4 hours, you're about to keep it real hot and fresh. So get ready.
Y'all, what's up? It's your boy Z Fly, keeping it real hot and fresh Monday night. You know what it is, you know how I do, you know how it goes down every Monday night. So glad that everybody is tuning in tonight for another hot segment of the show. So y'all know how it is. I hope that you just enjoyed that song, because I was over here jamming myself, you know what I'm saying? Oh. Got my boy Rizzo on the line. What's up, Rizzo?
What's up, man? Sorry for being a couple minutes late.
Oh, please. Whatever, that's what's up. But you know what? Everybody, just let you know that Apple Girl, Miss Jules, she had to take the night off. You know what I'm saying? She had to take care of that business biz. But it's all right, because you got your boys here. We're going to hold it down. So we definitely want to thank you again for tuning in tonight. And we got a lot going on. As most of y'all should know, that this is, February. and this is Black History Month. And, you know what I'm saying, this would we would not be keeping it real if we did not, you know what I'm saying, dedicate, you know, a show to Black History Month. So that's exactly what we're going to be talking about tonight. Tonight we're going to be talking about the past, the present, and the future of the Black community, you know, where we've come from, where we are now, and where we hope to be in the future. So definitely tune in tonight. And now I'm going to go ahead and put it out there. The Facebook is open, so log on to Facebook. MySpace is there. The Twitter is there. We definitely love Twitter. If you talk to us on Twitter, you know, it's usually me. So I'm actually starting to learn how to use Twitter. So I'm actually liking Twitter. So definitely tweet me on Twitter, but of course Facebook. And you can find us on all those social networks at, you know, by just doing forward slash Real Hot Fresh. And of course the SSBN chat room is open. So if you're logged into the actual site, then you know, you can log in the chat. And you can talk to us through there. And we do have a Facebook question going on tonight, and that is, what does Martin Luther King's I Have a Dream speech mean to you? So we have a few comments already, so definitely keep those comments going, and we'll get them on the show live tonight. And that's what's happening so far. So Rizzo, what's up with you, man?
I'm busy today. Been back and forth from school. Had to do a few other things, but man, school kept me feeling like I was going to be late today. I sat in the financial office for like 3 hours, and you know, that's just really it.
You kidding me? Oh wow! I mean, it's something. So basically, you're trying to get your financial aid and all that correct, right?
No, I was just getting my schedule and then getting the financial part up to date and everything.
No, I hear you. I hear you.
Yeah.
Well, did you ever get it right?
Yeah, they got it all right.
No, that's what's up. All right, that's cool. All right, so everything's going good with Rizzo. Everything's good with me, y'all. Y'all know how I do. Z Fly, always gonna keep it fly. So we're gonna go ahead and jump start this show, and we're gonna go ahead and get into a song real quick. But after the song, we're gonna be getting into the topic, and we're gonna be talking about the past of the Black community. But right now, we are going to tune into the present of T-Boz with Get It, Get It.
Yeah, baby, I'm a boss, and I don't fuck with Pia. Let me upgrade you, take you out the Neon. I need a boss chick like a chick Tia. Offshore accounts and a wrist on Freon. She can get it, grown woman with it. I got a man up cause she all on me with it. Look back at it, love that position. Hit her with the magic wand like a magician. She want a D-boy, blow crazy cash. That's me, boy, with the crazy swag. This ain't hammer tonight, girl, I'm a vet. I leave that pussy wet with passion marks on your neck.
Means that much to ya. Do something, show me what a big boy can do. See the money that you make ain't something that I'm asking ya. If you don't stand out, I'm walking past ya. If you're feeling good off the liquor, better move fast cause I'm moving quicker. I know that you're telling yourself that you wanna be a star, cause if you seem with me, the people wonder who you are. The way you're moving, telling me to drop it down now. Make sure that you're looking like you can keep up. Let it bounce off your lap, don't need to be rough.
pumping grind. Let me show you how I do it. Reach for my thing, pull it out and shoot it. I ain't talking about a gun. Let's get a fight again, have a whole lot of fun.
Come on, girl.
Told her she could get it. She told me she was with it. She know I wanna hit it. Come back, brag and tell her homies I did it. I wish I could. Bang in the pussy like it's my hood. I got my strap for the drive-by. Turn you out with this up all night line.
Hey, yo, Rizzo, can she get it, get it?
Oh, she can get it, get it.
All right, y'all, that was the T-Boss from TLC with Get It, Get It. And you are keeping it real hot and freaky, freaky fresh right now with your boy Z-Fly, the one who puts the stamp on flyness. And, of course, I got my boy Rizzo into his house, and we gotta do this thing. All right, y'all, so as you know, tonight we're talking about, it's Black History Month. So tonight we're talking about Black history. And right now we're going to start on the past. Now, whenever we think of the past, Rizzo, I don't know about you, but whenever I think of the past, of course I think of, heroes like Martin Luther King, of course. I think of Malcolm X. I think of Rosa Parks. And I think of a lot of other people, who has done so much for, well, not just the Black community, but, just for, to try and make a difference, period, to end segregation. And whenever I think of the past, I think of people like my grandmother, Because, I've heard a lot of stories, from them, where when they had to, a lot of things were segregated. They couldn't go to the same school as whites. They couldn't use the same bathroom as whites. They couldn't, be anywhere really as white unless they were the maid or the help. So I think, for this show tonight, I really do want to encourage all of our listeners to really get the meaning of Black History Month. I know that we have it every year, it's in February, and, I know a lot of people, you think that basically it's about, Martin Luther King, he had a dream to help the black people. But I don't think that people really understand the really real of it, what people went through, what happened and everything. So I really want people to really, just kind of think about it, Because a lot of people went through slavery, they wasn't able to do anything. They wasn't able to be free, basically. People were in, they was hung, they was burnt. I mean, this is like real stuff. So, it's like real crazy. Like, Rizzo, what do you think about, whenever you think about, the past of the black community, what comes up in your mind?
Well, I mean, a lot of things, actually, because, my family, they're Maltese, and so we have a mixture of African us, and what it really means is a lot of built-up frustration and things that we've been, really, that's really been thrown in our face and shit.
Okay, that's important.
And It really brings up, a lot of stress and stuff. But at the same time, Black History Month means, more of, the change and everything that's already, happened to us.
Exactly. And, I would agree with you. I think it is good to recognize the change. But at the same time, I think it's also good to remember where we came from. But I think of today, that we'll talk about later, the present, but I think today a lot of blacks and a lot of people kind of forgot where we came from because, we're in this modern world where you know, things are just so, you know, high tech and technology is this and that. So I think a lot of times we get very comfortable and we forget where we come from. And, you know, a lot of times we forget to educate our children on how it used to be. I know a lot of times people, they want to forget the past and they want to move on from those days. But I think those days is important because I think that keeps us grounded. And like I said, again, I really want to encourage all of our listeners to really think about that, to really remember the past, to really know what does Black History Month mean and represent. I mean, yes, just like Rizzo said, it does represent change. But at the same time, I think it also wants us to remember of what happened. You know what I'm saying? Because a lot of people don't know. I mean, like sometimes whenever you say, oh, you know, Black people, they was enslaved, you know, you kind of know the definition of what that means, but I don't know if you really know, you know what I'm saying, like the real meaning of, like, what actually happened. Because for one thing, there are a lot of young people today who are growing up, and I don't think they really know, they don't really understand. But anyway, but staying on the path, so once again, so whenever I think of people like Rosa Parks, you know, how she was, you know, had to sit in the back of the bus. You know, she couldn't sit in the middle. She couldn't sit in the front. Now, you know, we can sit where we want to sit, you know. And
yeah, definitely.
It, you know, I was like, and it's just kind of, I don't know, it's just kind of, not want to talk funny, but it's just kind of, there's something to think about whenever you think how people take things for granted now. Just like Malcolm X, like a lot of people, they may not know what he did. You know, whenever I think of segregation, I mean, like Rizzo, you know what I'm saying? Like, really think about, like, if, like, you wasn't able to, you know what I'm saying? Like, you wasn't good enough to use the same restroom as a certain other race. You know what I'm saying? How would that make you feel?
Oh, I'd go in there and pee all over the toilet. I mean, it wouldn't feel fair. I mean, like, I would definitely be angry. I mean, but at the same time, you know, I would be more appalled that our government even allowed something like that. I mean, it really singles out that, you know, as a minority of this country, that we're not worth, you know, doing anything, you know, for the country. So it makes me feel more like, you know, the scapegoat, you know, if I wasn't able to, you know. Yeah, if I wasn't able to go to the bathroom in the same spot and ride the bus sitting in the front seat it just doesn't make no sense to me.
Yeah, and then like one thing that like really like you know, catches my mind is I went to a play of John Templeton, and he was the first Black male to, you know, to be able to attend a college or university. And whenever and like there was one specific thing in the play, you know, he was being taught by, you know, by a white man or his master. In other words, he was the first Black to be freed, and he was able to, you know, attend, you know, go to college and get educated. But the white guy, the white man who was educating him, you know, he had made a point where, you know, that it was God's will to why, you know, Black people were slaves, you know what I'm saying, and white people were free. You know, it was kind of, you know, he was kind of saying something like, you know, this is the way it was supposed to be, and, you know, and it's kind of sad, like, you know, whenever you said the government, but, you know, they kind of made me think of that, because it's kind of sad, because, like, you know, those people in charge back then, they really did think that was the way it was supposed to be. They really did think that they were supposed to go to other people's country, rob them, kill them, rape them, you know, steal all their money or steal all their land or whatever, and they thought it was okay. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I was gonna say, you know, it's really, really something to really think about. I'm not encouraging people to get mad and stuff, because, you know, I know, like, topics like this is really, you know, it's kind of sketchy, because, you know, people can't get mad, and especially whenever you watch movies like Glory, you know, I remember when I first watched that movie, you know, it does kind of make you like, ugh, really? But I think that those movies and you know, shows like this and Black History Month, it's just to remind us of the change and what it used to be like, how it is now, and how thankful we should be. But a lot of people ain't thankful. A lot of people ain't thankful. And, you know, they ain't trying to change. I mean, because I see it every day, you know. I see certain ethnic groups or certain people that it's just like, but see, but that's what I don't get. I don't get how in the world could people have went through something so traumatic back then, and then, you know, as generation goes on through generation, why would it be so taken advantage of today? You know, it amazes me how something like tragic like that could happen. But then today, a lot of people just take things for advantage. You know, they don't really think of where, you know,
where it all came from. I mean, it's like a lot of people don't realize, you know, 100 years ago, it was totally different in America. I mean,
a century ago, it was totally different.
Exactly. I mean, just the way, I mean, we carried ourselves and stuff like that. And then now we're just now figuring out, getting away from the segregation part and the racism, and we're finally, you know, becoming, you know, more united. But it's still there. I mean, everybody still remembers, you know, what happened and everything. So to me, I think that, you know, it's real hard for people to really, you know, be educated about the past because, you know, us being naive and ignorant to some of the facts makes us opinionated to, you know, really not, you know, fully understand the type of comments that we make when we're discussing these things. You know, the kids nowadays really need to understand why it was like this and why certain people risked their lives, even died for this cause.
Exactly. What we're going to do is we're going to go into another song. Whenever we come back, we still have the Facebook question there that we're definitely going to answer. And we're also going to answer the Facebook question. But and then whenever we get back from the song break, we're going to get into the present of things, how it is now from the past that we just talked about, the little bit of past, because really we really didn't even touch anything. We just kind of skimmed over a few things of what happened back in the past. But trust me, it will take more than an hour show to really talk about, you know, what people went through and, you know, things that happened. So now we're going to try to, you know, kind of touch on the present of the Black community and how the past has kind of shaped the present, or has it. So we're going to talk about that. But right now we are going to get into a song by one of our featured artists that we have had on the show before, James Flames. This is Heartfelt, and you're keeping it real hot and fresh.
Yeah, come on, come on, come on, come on. Talk to me, spit real shit, yeah. You know where I'm from and what I spit and what I represent. Haters keep on hiding cause they know they talk. Let me stack my shippers, I get money, you get 50 cents. Some people hell, but hell is more often than this. You know where I'm from and what I spit and what I represent. Haters keep on hiding cause they know they talking shit. Let me stack my shippers, I get money, you get 50 cents. Some people hell, but hell is more often than this. It don't matter if you're fresh, homeboy, I'm right. I get up on the beat and ride like a sight fire. Some talk you can never write in just my sight. So I recite my seasoning and get the stew right. My eyes is half shut, smoking on that pot luck. She got that get right and I got that young buck. I mean that cash money, I got Obama chain. She has them by my pimp skill, I say they long range. I'm thinking out the box, 401k for stock. I got the feet unlocked and say I am the block. That means I am the street, heavyweight and you petite. You look like some food and starving as I bet. You know where I'm from and what I spit and what I represent. Haters keep on hiding cause they know I know they talking shit. Let me stack my shippers, I get money, you get 50 cents. Some can do hell, but hell is more I fucking live. You know where I'm from and what I spit and what I represent. Haters keep on hiding cause they know they talking shit. Let me stack my shippers, I get money, you get 50 cents. Some can do hell, but hell is more I fucking live. You know where I'm from and what I spit and what I represent. Haters keep on hiding cause they know they talking shit. Shippers, I get money, you get 50 cents. Some get you hell, but hell is more. You know I let her lick the rapper, and there was girls know a napkin. No time for chitter chatter. I said I hit the bladder. You know how I do it. So she creeps me through her teeth. Be slowing all afternoon. We slamming bones like we domino. That ain't nothing slick to a cannibal or mother. Never messing with a bro, cause that's a no no. Never running with a fake clip, that's a no go. Only fing with a real nigga, that's for sure though. Get it so fast, they gotta run it back in slow mo. Thank God for replay. So now it's first down and go. I'm pushing rounds like waiting for life to see why you hate. And I'm still on the campaign to run the state. You know where I'm from and what I fit and what I represent. Haters keep on hiding cause they know I know they talking shit. Let me stack my shippers, I get money, you get 50 cents. Some bet you hell, but hell is where I fucking live. You know where I'm from and what I fit and what I represent. Haters keep on hiding cause they know I know they talking shit. Let me stack my shippers, I get money, you get 50 cents. Some bet you hell, but hell is where I fucking live. You know where I'm from and what I fit and what I represent. Haters keep on hiding cause they know I know they talking shit. Let me stack my shippers, I get money, you get 50 cents. Some bet you hell, but hell is where I fucking live. Stepping through with a swag, like who that? Even help Dallas see the roof back. I can turn the elephant man into a smooth man. Like a box of Puma, they don't always find me on track. Weak rappers playing about to pull it, and I get mad. I try to flush your head down the toilet, and I'm always on my block, still moving that word. You the type of face should be on a t-shirt. Anyway, let me get back to doing my thing. My name may be flame, but I hustle and I bang. I'm the realest man. I'm so authentic. Look at me, I'm Wimbledon and y'all table tennis. You know where I'm from and what I fit and what I represent. Haters keep on hiding cause they know I know they talking shit. Let me stack my shippers, I get money, you get 50 cents. Some bet you hell, but hell is where I fucking live. You know where I'm from and what I fit and what I represent. Haters keep on hiding cause they know I know they talking shit. Let me stack my shippers, I get money, you get 50 cents. Some bet you hell, but hell is where I fucking live. You know where I'm from and what I fit and what I represent. Haters keep on hiding cause they know I know they talking shit. Let me stack my shippers, I get money, you get 50 cents. Some bet you hell, but hell is where I fucking live.
All right, that's James Flames Heartfelt, and you're keeping it real hot and fresh. This is your boy Z-Fly, and I got my boy Rizzy Rizzo on the mic
Rizzy
as well.
Rizzy.
All right, so right now we are talking about the black community. It is Black History Month. So we had already talked about the past, you know, what's went on in the past in the black history. And now we're going to talk about the present, what's going on now. Now, what happens now, then, you know, nobody can definitely not deny that, you know, the black community has definitely, you know, just came up, you know, like the Jeffersons, you know, moving on up. You know, there are blacks who have nice cars, nice houses, nice jobs, nice positions, just, you know, a lot of black people has really came up, you know, from, like, let's say 100 years ago or just 20 years ago, you know. They really, you know, they're in more of command, they have money, they're in power. But the thing is, even though the black community has came up, but have they really as far as image? Because in the media, you know, blacks are still looked at in a negative way. For example, you know, blacks are still looked at in kind of an ignorant way. You know, like black people like chicken, you know, we like Kool-Aid, and all the thing we want to do is laugh and party, and then not only that, you know, you see so many black faces always, you know, on the crime scene, you know, in jail, even though there's other races in jail, but it seems like the media really wants to showcase that black, you know, that black men especially are in jail, you know, they're in trouble. You really hear about it, you know. For example,
well,
like maybe
it says in my I'm in criminal justice. That's my major, and in the book it actually says in chapter one that the judicial system is built around racism. I mean, that is a fact, actually. I mean, one of the major things that builds power for these police officers and builds money for the government is, you know, staking out these areas that are predominantly black or minorities and to target these areas because they know it's known for drugs. That's one of the stereotypes that they try to bring, you know, face value. That's not always true, you know. I think it exploits the areas a little bit more than what actually goes on.
Exactly. And, you know, and it's kind of sad because, you know, they feel like, you know, the drugs and the whatever, the crime and the underhandedness is, just like you said, you know, mostly going on in a black community. And it's just sad because, see, that's that bad image that blacks still have. And the sad thing is, I hate to say it, but sometimes, you know, whenever blacks, they feel, not all, but some, whenever they feel up against the wall and they feel pressured and they feel like, you know, the man, as they say, is, you know, on their back, they will do things, you know, to kind of make them seem suspicious and suspect, you know, so then they get some in trouble. But see, but then again, you know, instead of being smart about it, they seem to act out against it. And it just gets them in trouble, and then it just makes them a statistic, and then it just kind of just make you feel like, what is really going on? Because, for example, you know, it was funny because me and my cousins, we was actually watching some show the other day, and it was a black show, and they were just doing stuff that was just ignorant. And, I mean, you know, it's meant to be funny, but then at the same time, you know, some people, they look at that, and then they're like, oh, wow, that's how they really are. Because let me tell you something, Rizzo, let me tell you something. You know, now that I have moved to New York, you know, I mean, it is so funny, because, you know, like the South and the North, I mean, well, of course, we always know, you know, like, known that it was different. But being Definitely. In the North, you are around so many other, you know, ethnic groups, you know, than you would be maybe in the South. So up here, you know, I'm meeting different people.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? I'm meeting different people or whatever. And you know what I'm saying? So I guess, you know, by me being black, they expect me to be a certain way. So whenever I'm not that certain way, they're like, oh, you don't do this? And I'm like, well, what make you think I would do this? Like you know, like for example, like eat chicken. You know what I'm saying? Like, I was like, okay, I don't want no chicken. Oh, you don't want no chicken? And I'm like, no. You know what I'm saying? Because, see, like that's how they really feel that, like, black people, you know what I'm saying? We just want chicken. We just want watermelon. You know, it's Kool-Aid. You know what I'm saying? Stuff like that. And like to me, that's like an ignorant thing. I mean, to me, that's ignorant. You know what I'm saying? Because it's like people are saying that blacks are not really intelligent. You know, they're just, you know, like, we're just here for entertainment. We're just here for laughs. But don't take them seriously because, you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Don't be their friend. Don't get too close to them because they might rob you or they might steal from you. Stuff like that. And then, you know, to me, whenever I see and hear stuff like that, it just kind of, it sets us back, because, you know what I'm saying, it sets us back from all the struggles that so many of the black heroes in the past have, you know, tried to do to achieve so that we could, you know, be away from those stereotypes. I mean, I know you're always going to be stereotyped, but it's just the type of things that I think that blacks are stereotyped that's just, you know what I'm saying, that just make it just so
outrageous
of a... Yeah, of a negative impact. For example, you know, blacks was called the N-word heavily in the past, you know, the N-word with the E-R. Now they call each other the N-word with the, and then drop the E-R with the A. How do you feel about that, Rizzo?
Well, I don't know. I'm a man of words, and words don't bother me as much as they did when I was growing up, because a lot of people used to use that ER word with me and stuff, and I just take
oh, wow.
it really offensively. Yeah, yeah. But I grew up in a you know, a suburban white town and stuff, so you know I got used to it and stuff, which you know isn't totally right. You know, actually, you know, nowadays I look at the word, you know, as way more offensive, and it's insulting. I mean, I think it's kind of stupid that, you know, kids are using those words, you know, nowadays. It's just, you know, common, you know, language, you know, slang and stuff. Because, I mean, you got to think about all the adults that went through all the segregation problems, being called those types of things, and really how it really affects, you know, the livelihood of you know, our forefathers, you know, our parents and stuff. They must think that we're not responsible at all. I mean, and that's where the big the stereotype comes from nowadays, more from being back in the 60s, from the white people thinking, oh, blah, 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 about, you know, black people. It's actually now the older black people on the younger black people. That's where the segregation is coming from nowadays that I'm noticing.
Yeah.
It's way deeper and more complex than what it was before, because it's now black on black. It's crazy.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. And then yeah, and then I think that's how, you know, the government kind of wants it too. Now what is your ethnic background?
Well, Native American and Maltese. It's a mixture of black and Italian.
Okay. So okay, so like you have a mixture there. So you know what I'm saying? So how do you feel whenever, you know, being that, you know, you are mixed with Italian, you know, how do you feel whenever people are like calling you, you know what I'm saying, the N word, or just associating you with, you know, the black community, you know, and then you're thinking, well, you know, I'm not just black, you know what I'm saying? So like because that's what a lot of people try to do. You know what I'm saying? It's like if you're a little brown, then you're black. And if you're a little, you know, a little light, then you're white. You know, it's just like they just try to get rid of it. Basically, it's always like a black and white thing, black and white thing. You know, it's like no gray area anywhere. So how do you feel growing up, you know, being that you are mixed, but maybe most people were just, you know, just telling you one race?
Well, actually, I feel kind of like, you know, still in the biased state because, you know, I want to feel, you know, like one group, but I can't feel like that because there's so many, like, I don't know. It's hard to really place it. I'm kind of in the middle. I don't know how to react with it. You know, I kind of stay out of it. But I do, I mean, if somebody ever used those type of words to me, you know, today, I would definitely get offended, you know. And at the same time, you know, with a lot of my, you know, friends, you know, also being white, I also feel kind of like segregated with them too because at sometimes, you know, they don't include me into some things, you know, that they're involved in and things like that. It's actually a lot more tougher than a lot of people think being multiracial. It really is. It's something I haven't really tried to expose too much of myself, but at the same time, it does cause problems. I mean, it's kind of tough.
That is so interesting. Our phone lines are definitely open, 646-200-3136. If you want to call up with a question or a comment on black history or how you see the black community is in present or past, so definitely call in 646-200-3136. I think that's interesting, you know, because I just think it's interesting, you know, earlier also whenever you said about the black-on-black crime, there's a lot of black-on-black crime. Well, not just black-on-black crime, you know, actually crime, but just a black-on-black hating, you know, and, yeah. I mean, we can really go on this for a long time, too, because, you know, I think, like, what has happened in the past. See, this is why I'm so happy, you know, that this is why, like, you know what I'm saying, this show is about the past, the present, and the future because, you know, a lot of stuff that happened in the past is affecting the present, and it will definitely affect the future because, you know, I think with just so much stuff that happened in the past, you know, with all that, you know, being enslaved and, you know, kind of being taught to hate yourself and that you're ugly and you're this, is that now in the present, and actually this has been going on for a while, but, you know, I think just like you said, you know, among blacks, it's kind of taught us to, you know, hate each other or, you know, because like a lot of times, you know,
You know what another really tough part about it is when you try to go date a white girl too. That brings a lot of her skepticism and stuff because the parents really, really don't want that to happen. That's been really hard in my life too, I've noticed. That's a big thing about nowadays.
That's still bad. I was thinking that, you know, 2011 that, you know, that was, you know, like the interracial dating was kind of okay now. So you're saying it's still kind of a problem for some parents?
Oh, yeah. Even though it might not be to your face and stuff, but, yeah, it's a problem. Like, I'm originally from Michigan, and it was sometimes an issue, not as much, but it was. And then when I moved to the South, I moved down to Naples, Florida. You know, that was crazy. I had a dad say if I ever came to his door again, he was going to shoot me.
Wow.
Just for my race, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
and you know
what?
And then, I mean, stuff like that really gets to a person because, you know, whenever you hear stuff like that, you know, it's not that he's saying, you know, I'll shoot you because you're uneducated or, you know, you wear bad clothes. No, it's because you're black. You know what I'm saying? It's because of the color of your skin. And there alone can make a person just feel like nothing. And that's what it has done over the years, and that's why I feel that, a lot of black people, you know what I'm saying, they are the way they are, you know, it's like they have their ways, you know, the past always, you know, even like people that's living today, you know what I'm saying, they would never even end slavery or any of that segregation stuff, but just hearing it, just knowing that, you know, your people went through it, your ancestors went through it, and then plus that you're black, so really, you know, they kind of put it on you because you're black, it really affects you, and it's just something that, you know, you can't even date, you can't even do certain things, because, you know, like sometimes, you know, I'll go certain places, and maybe it might be all white or it's all, you know, Asian or, you know, all another race, and then, you know, you do have that kind of instant, you know, that uncomfortable feeling like, you know, they don't want you there. It's something. Yeah, it's something. Oh, boy. But, yeah, we're going to keep the show moving. We're going to, you know, we gotta pay some bills. 19 more minutes of the show, got to pay some bills. It definitely call in. We're gonna read on MySpace and Facebook question. 646-200-3136 if you want to call in with a question or a comment. We're going to pay some bills. Whenever we get back, we're going to talk about the future, or at least the future of how we foresee it for the black community. And we're going to talk about that Facebook question. And, yeah, and we're going to continue to keep it real hot and fresh. We're going to pay some bills. That's right, y'all, paying some bills.
So you made a New Year's resolution to lose weight. But with so much temptation such as cheeseburgers, fried chicken, and even sodas, it's hard to stay on track. So why not give health food a try and let herbalist Freddie Atkinson set you on the right path to a healthy lifestyle. Owner of Adarian Health Foods in Wilson, North Carolina, Freddie focuses on scheduling his customers with healthy, natural diets that are easy to follow. How your body looks on the inside is just as important on how it looks on the outside. So come give health a chance. Come give God a chance. There's life in the name. For more information, call 252-291-5727 or log on to www.projectgreenlife.com/nearmanna, which is spelled NEARMANNA. Do you think you're purely poetic? If so, be sure to check out the Open Mic Night every Wednesday night at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, hosted by my cousin. This show allows you to read poetry, lyrics, or just express yourself how you may feel. And the bonus is you may just win a prize. So log on to www.blogtalkradio.com/purely-poetic and be ready to rock the mic.
For all you women out there, if you're looking for a Valentine, you know, outfit, then you definitely want to go to Gracia Fashion, because Gracia Fashion has 20% off right now. Whenever you shop online with them, you can get 20% off your whole purchase. All you have to do is go to www.shopgracia.com. Gracia is spelled G-R-A-C-I-A. So again, that's shopgracia.com. And whenever you get to the checkout, just enter the code Essence1, and Essence is spelled like the magazine, with a 1, and you'll get 20% off your purchase. And that is how we pay these bills, y'all.
Yeah.
All right, y'all, so welcome back to the show.
You got it,
all right, so you still here? Okay, so if you're just now tuning in, we're talking about Black History Month, or actually we're doing a tribute to Black History Month. We're talking about the black community from past, present, and future. You have missed the past and the present. We're about to roll on to the future. But before I do, just to let you know, in upcoming shows, be sure to keep it real hot and fresh with us every Monday night, because we have Catrice Jones, which is Lil' Kim's cousin. Now, if you haven't heard, Catrice Jones has been she got arrested, because she supposedly was robbing from Lil' Kim. Lil' Kim, she opened up a salon in Charlotte, North Carolina, and Catrice Jones is her cousin / co-owner of the salon, and supposedly Catrice has been robbing. So we are going to have Catrice on our show to defend her side of the story. Also coming up, we do have, now if you haven't been tuning in with the Nicki Minaj Lil Kim battle, then you also know that there's a third in there, and she goes by the name of Keys. She's a rapper out of Baltimore, and her name is Keys. And, you know, this is Nicki Minaj, too. So we're going to try to have her on the show, too, to try to figure out what exactly is all this beef with these female rappers. You know what I'm saying? I mean, we don't really have any that's out on the mainstream right now. So it'll be nice if you know what I'm saying, they all, you know, kind of just bury the hatchet, squash it, and just collaborate with each other. But so we're going to try to have Keys on the show, too, to see what the beef is with Nicki Minaj. So that's all coming up on a real hot and freaky, freaky fresh show. All right. But everybody, tonight, like I said, we are talking about the black community. And we have a Facebook question. And the Facebook question is, what does Martin Luther King's I Have a Dream speech mean to you? And I'm going to let Rizzo. So, Rizzo, you know, what does, like, after all these years, you know, hearing, I Have a Dream speech by Martin Luther King and, you know, what he's done for the black community and just, you know, different people, what does it actually mean to you, though?
To me, it means power. I've always loved that speech. And before I even realized what it was for, you know, because you've always heard on TV, oh, I have a dream. It really makes me feel empowered that, you know, I can do something, you know, that what I feel that is impossible is actually possible. To me, it means that it's like one of those subliminal messages that open up people's minds to feel like they have control of something that they felt like they had no capability before doing. You know, it's one of those types of speeches that will be, you know, brought down in history for years to come because of the type of motivation it gives people, you know, once an understanding and reading and hearing the speech, you know, through time. To me, it really means, you know, to really do what your mind has, you know, what your mind tells you to do. You know, you're able to do anything. I mean, that's really what it means to me.
That's what's up. You know, to me, it's funny, you know, as a child, I'll admit, you know, elementary school, you know, I really didn't know what Black History Month was and, you know, the black power and, you know, what black people had actually been through. But as I got older, you know, it did take more effect to me. And now it means to me, it just kind of, you know, made me think of how blessed I am, you know, because I look at my life now, you know, I complain, you know, I complain I don't have this, you know, I hate my job and this and that, but really I have nothing to complain about because, you know, I am really free, I'm really blessed, I'm really spoiled, you know what I'm saying, which a lot of us are, and, you know, whenever I just think about what Martin Luther King, you know, did for us, is really something because, you know, he didn't back down, you know what I'm saying, like, I mean, like, just think about if he did back down. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, if he backed down, no telling where we would be or how this world would be right now. But he didn't back down. He stood his ground. And, you know, I really thank him for that. You know, I mean, he definitely is someone to just, you know, pay homage to. You know, every day, I think, you know, not just one day or once a month. I think every day because he really made a difference for the black community and just went for a lot of people, really. So, that's what his speech means to me. Let me go to our Facebook and see what some of y'all said. We have Humble Fern Drake. He said, it meant equality and doing what others may be afraid to do in order to make progress in the world for better of us all. That's what's up. Listen, we have a Jermaine Lyons. He said that it means to him that black people was on their way of being free and that we was going to have a better day. That's what's up. We have Lakeisha Simmons. Yeah, we have Lakeisha Simmons. She said that, she also said, you know, it meant equality and that black people, you know, was able to have a better life and have a better life. And what's that? Lakeisha, I don't know what that last thing you wrote. But basically, you know, she's saying that, you know, equality, have a better life for blacks. That's what's up. So everybody, we do have 10 minutes to the show, but before we go, we're going to talk about the future of how we foresee the future of the Black community. And also, we want to thank you for your Facebook questions. Thank you very much.
Yeah,
so Rizzo, so real quick, so for me, the way that I see, you know what I'm saying, you know, the future for the Black community or just any community is I feel that, you know, if we don't stand for something like Martin did, then we will fall for anything. Because I have heard that for some schools, I don't know how true it is, but I have heard for some schools that they want to take, you know, Black history out of school. You know what I'm saying? I mean, to me,
that's a part of American history.
Bam, exactly. But you know what I'm saying? They want to erase it like it never happened. You know, like, to me, I think it's already bad because, like, there are some children who are, like, maybe 5, 7, 12, maybe even 15, who might not even know who Martin Luther King is. You know what I'm saying? They might not even know, like, what his significance is. You know what I'm saying? So I think that's already bad right now. And then now, here you are, you have some schools that's talking about, you know what I'm saying, taking that part of Black history out of education. That's just awful, you know what I'm saying? I mean, so
I really think
that we really need to stand our ground, because if we don't, it will be wiped out. It will, you know what I'm saying? It will be wiped out. You know, the government will have their way, or whoever will have their way, and Black history will be wiped out if the Black community does not stand their ground and stick together.
And we need to stand up for that.
Yeah. I mean, like, one thing that is a fact, and it's known that the Black community, a lot of times they don't stick together. They, you know what I'm saying, they don't stick together. But I actually do think that, you know, if that was really, really trying to be enforced, I really do think that that would be a time that the Black community would stick together. What do you think?
Definitely. Because, you know, it's kind of weird, and I noticed this today because I heard somebody speaking while I was doing my business today. But Black people don't stick together during the times of people that are in need. Like, you know how Spanish people and Puerto Ricans, they stick together. You know, somebody asks them for help, they help each other. But we'd rather turn our backs on somebody that needs help because we want to keep it for ourselves. But I think in cases like that, to get upset about when people are trying to misconstrue our civil rights, I think we'd actually stand up for it. We'd actually do something about it. That's where the young African Americans and the older African Americans will actually come together and actually, you know, blend colors. I think that's when we'll all end up standing up.
Exactly. And you know what? Exactly. And it's interesting because, you know, it's like, why not help each other? You know, why not be that, be that race that helps each other, that, you know, whenever you make it to the top, you know what I'm saying, you got your hand out pulling your other brothers and sisters with you. You know what I'm saying? I mean, just like you said, it's like whenever a lot of them make it to the top, it's like, hey. I go, you know, I have heard it. I have heard it so many times. You know what I'm saying? I mean, they have this attitude like, well, look, you know, I had to fight and I had to do this to get here. You could do it too. But it shouldn't be that attitude. You know what I'm saying? Because
just think how much faster and efficient that would be if we actually helped each other out.
Help each other.
You know that? I mean, and not even just to keep it Black and Black helping each other out. I mean, everybody. People need to start coming together. I mean, the media is spreading out about the recession. You're hearing about in Egypt, how they're all, you know, about to have this new revelation or revolution. I mean, we need to start sticking together because, I mean, all this is going to end up affecting America. And then what are we going to do? Are we going to segregate ourselves if something happens over here? I mean, I don't get it. I really don't.
Don't nobody get it, really. I mean, it's sad because, you know, yeah, you're right. Because, I mean, like, a lot of other countries, they already, you know what I'm saying, they already don't like America anyway because they think that we're this and that. And then, see, we're over here in America, we're too busy fighting, you know what I'm saying, not really keeping an eye on what's really important, you know. I really hope you're listening to this show, people. It's really important. I mean, really think, you know what I'm saying. And you know what, I like that. Yes, it is good to have a Black History Month. Yes, because, you know, it is good to take recognition of where we are now from where we came from. But it's also good to remember that let's not segregate each other still. Still, we are people. We are a human race. So let's act like humans and help each other, you know?
Exactly.
I mean, why can't we do that? Why is it so hard? Anyway, everybody, I can't believe it, but hour is gone. Thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you so much for your Facebook questions. You know how we do, your boys, Rizzio.
Rizzio.
Rizzo.
That
sounds hot. And of course, your boy, Z-Fly. So everybody, now definitely tune in next week because, like I said, we have a live interview with Lil' Kim's cousin, Catrice Jones. We will be talking to her about what actually happened with these alleged charges on her about her stealing money from the company. I mean, did she do it? Did she not do it? Hey, who knows? We're gonna find out. We're gonna definitely kind of find out next week. We'll keep it real hot and fresh for you. But right now, we're gonna close this show with 10 ways you know you ghetto. And once again, we just want to thank everybody for tuning in. You laughing already? And we'll holler at you next week, y'all. All right, 10 ways y'all know y'all ghetto. Number one, and number 10, you know you ghetto if your water hose has no nozzle and you have to kink it to stop the water. I got it. You know what I'm saying? You know how you gotta kink it. You gotta, like, kind of, yeah. Great.
Yeah.
Number 9. That's such a southern thing. Number 9, you know you ghetto if you yell at people 20 yards away out your car window. Number 8, you know you ghetto if the family has to sit on each other's laps in the car.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I must be ghetto.
Anybody got no van yet? Number 7, you know you ghetto if you pull up to someone's house and honk instead of going to the door. That's kind of lazy.
Yeah.
Number 6, you know you ghetto if you take your baby out only wearing a diaper. I have seen that.
All the time.
I'm like, why? And then the diaper be dirty.
Change
the baby diaper.
Then they throw it on the street.
Ugh. Yeah, go down the street. Baby head be knotty. I mean, snot all down the nose. Yeah, that would really take care of your babies.
Yeah,
number
5.
You know you ghetto if you let your 5-year-old babysit your 1-year-old. Now what kind of mess is that?
Oh.
Somebody going to jail.
Yeah,
number
4.
You know you ghetto if cops is shot on location in your neighborhood on a regular basis. Okay, cops are shot now.
Yeah, that's New York.
Okay, and so somebody needs to go back to training. Number 3. You know you ghetto if you go to the cemetery and pour liquor on your dead homie's grave. We still gonna get right, homie, every weekend. Well, I got you. Number 2, you know you ghetto if you mix up some Kool-Aid and realize you don't have sugar, then you put the pitcher in the fridge until you buy some. Below Rizzo, have you ever tried to use brown sugar for Kool-Aid? It does not taste good.
No, I never tried that.
don't try, that's nasty. And number 1, y'all, you know you ghetto if you tell all your friends you are mixed with some other nationality, but the Naps tell a different story, okay? Yeah, I mean, you can't hide them.
That
must be me. You know, you're stupid. You know what I'm saying? You can probably pop with some rolling Vaseline in it, but once that stuff dry up, got a mess. Everybody, you kept it raw and fresh. Tune in next week. We got Catrice Jones, cousin of Little Kim, and we're going to keep it really hot for you. We out of here.
Really hot.
Yeah. Peace, y'all. What?
Yeah.
I'm out.
What?
Peace.